Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Sometimes we look at our life and go, whew, that's a boring day, right? Like, that's my life. Like, that's either it's boring or it's crazy or, like, you know, whatever it is, but it's real life, right? Like, this whole series, the premise is bringing real faith to our everyday life. And so we want to see everyday life. We want to see what goes on. And so we would encourage you to do that. We're going to push a lot of information out to help you do this. And then you'll send us the videos and we'll put it together like that and put the little nice music behind it and all those things like that. So you don't have to worry about that, but you'll just send those to us. So be on the lookout for that. Maybe think about that. Pray about that and just do that. Okay, yeah? All right. But we're going to be looking at those. We have the first few weeks ready to go, but, you know, further than that, we want to encourage you guys to be a part of that. But let me pray for us. And today we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and find that in your Bibles, a couple supporting verses, but that's our main base verse. And this series, we are studying the book of Mark. And so we're going to start Mark chapter 1. Mark has a lot of different chapters, and so we won't go it verse by verse, but we will be kind of walking through chronologically. But what I love about the book of Mark, I'm already going to preach, but what I love about the book of Mark is that it is real stories, that we get to peek into a day in the life of Jesus, a day in the life of people that interacted with Jesus on a regular basis, and it becomes real faith for our everyday life. And so that's really the goal of this series as we kick this off, and you'll see as we study each chapter as we go along. But let me pray for us and just ask God to speak during this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this morning, a brand new day. Thank you for life. Thank you for each and every person that is here in the room, also listening online. God, I pray that you just speak. God, because when you speak, things begin to move and shake inside of us, God. When you speak, our hearts begin to mend, God. And I just pray that it is your words that speak here this morning. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. We love you, and that's all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. And when we think about our everyday lives, right, and the things that go on every single day, for us, it may feel like it's, like I said earlier, it's mundane or it's boring or I just don't know. Or I honestly, right, if we're honest with each other, it can be a little hectic sometimes. I know for me, getting up in the mornings, we have our roles. I'm trying to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and wrangle. Nope, you put your shirt on. No, you do this, right? Like, and then everybody else is trying to get ready for work, and it can feel hectic at times, and you're trying to manage schedules. Like, praise God for iCalendar, right, that things can sync up, and it's like, wait, what's going on today? And we're able to do that and walk with those, but sometimes it can feel like there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect, like when I read my Bible, when I show up to church, and then I'm interacting with everyday relationships or everyday life. How do those two things come together? How do those two worlds collide in our everyday life, hour by hour, as we're interacting with all the different relationships that we have in our lives? How does that begin to interact? And as we look at the book of Mark, I love the book of Mark because it shows us just that. And then also, the incredible thing about the book of Mark, most scholars believe that we know that Mark wrote this, but most scholars believe that Mark was writing what Peter experienced, what Peter saw. And so he worked closely hand in hand with Peter as he's writing this gospel here, because we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is the one that gets right to the action. Mark is the one that really zeroes in on Jesus' ministry and life. And so he starts in Mark chapter 1, and he starts telling this story about this wild man named John the Baptist, who's related to Jesus, who's out in the wilderness preaching. I mean, John the Baptist, it's recorded that he's wearing camel skin. I'm talking, he's a man's man. He's got a beard. He's got camel skins. He's biting the heads of locusts off, right? Like, he's locusts and honey. I mean, think about this guy. That was his reputation. There's a crazy guy in the woods declaring that the Messiah is here. I mean, he looks manly, right, with his big camel skin, all that, but he is calling out this man of Jesus who has come. And we see this in Mark chapter 1. He's preaching, he's teaching, and then Jesus comes. And he shows up because John the Baptist would preach that the Messiah is coming, the kingdom is near, repent and be baptized. And people were getting baptized, and John the Baptist was baptizing, and then Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up on the shore while he's baptizing people in the Jordan River, it's like John the Baptist stops. I mean, he's like, everybody stop. Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who I've been preaching about, the one I'm out here yelling and teaching and preaching and sounding crazy. Like, he is here now. This is who I was telling you about. And we see this, and he knew that Jesus was coming. When Jesus came, it's like he came to John the Baptist and said, okay, it's time. It's time for me to start my ministry. It's time for me to show people who I am. It's time for me to help people to see. And so this is where we pick up in Mark chapter 1. And Jesus is starting his ministry. He's starting his public ministry. And we're going to start reading in verse 9. Everybody still with me? Everybody good? Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him." We get this scene. Jesus comes, and he comes to John the Baptist, and he's saying, "I want you to baptize me." And you imagine the honor that John the Baptist has of baptizing the Messiah, the Son of God, who he knew who he was. Not everybody believed yet, but yet John the Baptist knew who he was. And he baptizes Jesus. And in this supernatural moment, everybody that is there at the Jordan River, the disciples that were there watching, and some of even the Pharisees were summoned to be there and watching, Jesus goes into the river to be baptized, not because he has walked into salvation, right? Because he is perfect, right? He is holy. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who has come. But he came and walked down to be baptized to fulfill the law, to walk in obedience, to be the perfect example for you and I, to declare, hey, I know my Father, and my Father knows me. I am his Son. I am his child. I am walking in public obedience to declare that truth. And so Jesus goes down into the water. John the Baptist, we've all seen baptisms, is celebrating, right? And he goes down and brings him back up. And the picture is that heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And then an audible voice from heaven. Just picture that. Right now, an audible, I don't know what the voice of God sounds like, but I don't know, movie theater voice, like, "And Jesus," right? I don't know, but all of a sudden, this booming voice from heaven, audible voice comes down and says, "This is my Son, whom I love, and I am well pleased." And everybody hears this truth. In fact, this is one of the scenes in the Bible where we see the Trinity represented. We see God in three persons represented. We have Jesus in the flesh, the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, and the voice of the Father all right there and on. We see the Trinity happen, that God is three persons in one right here in this moment. And we see this declaration begin to happen. And the title of my message today is What God Said. What God Said. And the reason I say that is because Jesus is starting his ministry, and Jesus is declaring, I mean, God is declaring who Jesus is. And in fact, God is declaring that who Jesus is to him, he's declaring who Jesus is to the world. And this sets up Jesus' ministry. This is the beginning of everything. And I think for you and I, the beginning, the foundation of our very lives has to start right here. Has to start with what God says, and more intimately, what God says about you. You and I have to start there because there's so many different voices in the world today. There's so many people, many different people saying different things about us, and there's different things even that we say about ourselves. There's different things about a past. I mean, think about it. As we are raised, there's things that our parents say to us. There's friends and social media and all these different voices that are speaking into us. But you and I, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want to get us here is that you and I have to be crystal clear on what God says about us. That you are what who God says you are. That you are who God says you are. And you and I have to believe that. We have to lay the foundation of our lives based off of what God says about us. Because maybe you heard, hey, you're not enough. Maybe you heard in your life, you just need to be better. You just need to work harder. You need to act this way. You need to dress this way. You need to think this way. You need to be this way. In fact, and we hear all of these things all throughout our life. But we need to be crystal clear on what God says. Our Creator, the one who knew us in our mother's womb, the one who formed us, we have to be crystal clear on what God says about us. And I think about Jesus, because Jesus is fully man, yet fully God. And so his brain was working, his emotions, all of these things, he's feeling these, he's about to step out, and he knows where his future leads, to the cross and to the resurrection, and he has to walk through that pain, he has to walk through that hurt, he has to walk through life and being rejected and yet being praised, and all these mixed emotions that he is going to have. And at the beginning, Jesus says, I want you to know who you are. God, I want you to know, Jesus, who you are. I want that to be instilled. And I want everybody else to know what I say about you. And he says, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. And get this. This is good right here. John chapter 10. We see this because you and I need to know what God says about us. And it says this in John chapter 10. The gatekeeper opens the gate, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out, and he has brought out all his own. He goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And we see this, that you and I know the voice of God, and we follow the voice of God, and who Christ says we are, that's who we follow, and that's what we understand. And then he says this in John chapter 2, verse 1, because we heard that it's an incredible voice. Speak down over God and say, this is my son, whom I love. I am well pleased. And this is what John says about you and I. When we come into relationship with him, when we walk with him as our Heavenly Father, he says this, my dear children, he is speaking to you, he is speaking to us, he is speaking to believers. He says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate, the Father, Jesus, the righteous one, that you and I have this relationship, that he calls us son, he calls us daughter. And exactly what he says about Jesus in this moment, because of Christ and through Christ, now he sees us through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection. And now he doesn't just see you, but he also sees through the lens of Jesus, and he looks at you and says, you are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. And I am well pleased. And we talked about this last week, and it's not by the works that we do, but we are saved by the grace and what Jesus has done on the cross. For it is finished. And what God looks at us, no matter our past, no matter what we are doing, no matter what's rolling through our minds, and all of that sometimes we will carry, but we have to be crystal clear on what God first says about us, that you are my child, and I love you, whom I am well pleased. Think about that. Imagine that. The life that we've lived, the thoughts that we've had, the acts that we have done, right? Yet through Christ, God looks at you and says, look, that's my girl. That's my son. Oh, I love them so much. Oh, look, I am pleased with them. They are fully known by me. They are fully accepted by me. I love them. I'm walking with them. That is who you are in Christ. And that is the voice that speaks over us. And right now in our world today, it doesn't matter if we're 2 years old, right, or 87. We need to be crystal clear of who Christ is, because not only that we have an enemy, an adversary. He will come and wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Later in that chapter 10, it says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's written in the same chapter that Jesus is teaching and going, people, you need to know my voice. You need to follow me. I am the one that leads you to life, but there is another voice. There is another voice, and it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And look at this in Mark chapter 1. Immediately, God speaks this over Jesus, and then it says the Spirit leads him where? Into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. So God knew where Jesus was headed and saying, look, I'm gonna speak this over you so you know, because you're walking into temptation. You need to know this because you're about to walk into the accuser. You're about to walk into one who is not just trying to like knock your day off, right? Like not just trying to go, oh, don't just have a sad day. No, he wants to steal, he wants to kill and destroy. He wants to ruin families. He wants divorces. He wants our kids to grow up hating God. He wants all of these things. He suicides all these things. The enemy is not backing down, and he's not the one that goes, oh, they're having a bad day, let's just leave them alone. They're already having too much. No, he sees that as an opportunity. They're down, they're depressed, they're angry. Look at that relationship they have, so much bitterness. This is an opportunity, right? And that's when he pounces more. And so you and I need to be crystal clear on what God says about us, because what I want to do is I want to walk through three things that the enemy tries to accuse us of. Three things, and then combat them with what God says. And then we're going to close together. Does that sound good? So the enemy comes at us and he tries to accuse us, because he is the accuser we see in Scripture. And the first thing that he tries to accuse us is before God. And we read and we see this in the book of Job, where the enemy, Satan, goes before God and he goes, hey, and he starts to talk about Job, right? And God goes, oh, have you seen my man Job? He is righteous. Woo, he is doing what I want. And then Satan goes before God and goes, ha, the reason he's doing that is because he hadn't had any hardships. And he starts to accuse Job right before God, right? He starts to going, I know he'll crack if he has heartache. I know he'll crack under trial. I know, right? He starts to accuse before God. And now it's different, because that was Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, through Christ, we have this union. Through Christ, we are saved, we are changed, we are redeemed. But the enemy still can go before God and go, look, you saw how they sinned today? Look, God, do you see what Daniel thought today? Do you see what happened? And it's like, God, do you see this? He starts to accuse. But I want to reread this verse in 1 John 2:1. It says, my dear children, I write to this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does, I love how the Father, he sets it up. I don't want you to, but if you do, we're in a sinful, broken world, right? Like we still have sin in our life and sin in our mind. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So as the enemy comes before God and he starts to accuse us, right? He starts to bring up our list of sins. He starts to bring a list of brokenness and the things we've said and things we've done. Then our advocate Jesus steps in right in between and going, nope, I paid for that. No. God, look, I paid for that. I am the righteous one. You now see them not from their sin, but from my righteousness. I am the advocate. You and I, that's why when we read Romans 8, chapter 1, we read that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but the accuser will come to us and come before God and try to accuse us. But you and I know and can be assured that our seal of salvation is wrapped up as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that who we have in Christ. And then the accuser comes and he tries to accuse us against ourselves. And that's that voice that we may hear in our minds of going, hey, I can't believe you thought that. I can't believe you just said that. You're not saved. How can you be a Christian and you just said that to that person. You just went to church on Sunday and raised your hands, and yet you just talk to your kids like that? You are nothing. You can't talk to God. You're not worthy to talk to God. I mean, this is real life, right? Like, this is a faith in everyday life, or we wake up and get distracted and all these different things. And I'm a firm believer that sometimes, I mean, I love technology and I'm on it a lot and social media and all those things. But I believe sometimes the enemy will kind of use it as a modern day pacifier, right? To soothe us a little bit of going, hey, no, just get distracted a little bit. No, just don't worry about that. Just release all of those things. Because the accuser comes before us and he wants us to believe, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to believe you're nothing. You're not enough. You need to make more. You need to be more so that other people will realize who you are. You need to get more so that people can really respect you. And we wrestle with these things, right? And he can take things that are good. Working is good, right? Making, providing is good. But he'll twist it to make it our identity. He will twist it to make it about who we are. And then on the day that maybe it happens where we're separated from that, or a transition happens in our life and we feel like, oh, that was who I was, right? And God goes, no, I want you to be who I say that you are, that you are a child of God in whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. When you walk home at the end of the day from work or whatever it is, or at the end of the day as a mom, you feel like there's nothing went right, God still looks at you and says, you are my daughter, you are my son, who I am love, and I am well pleased. Because we have an advocate, a Father, Jesus, who walks with us in this beauty. And then the accuser not only accuses us before God, before others, and he accuses us before one another. Everybody still with me? It's not like a fun, like, yay story, but this is an accuser, right? And he accuses us before one another. You see, he comes and not only tries to attack us, but he still comes ashore, and he wants to come and attack and accuse us of each other, right? All of a sudden, you're sitting at work. This is real life, right? You're sitting at work, and old Brandon, right, comes through. I don't know who Brandon is, but Brandon comes walking through with a piece of paper, like checking things off, and you're like, oh, look, I knew Brandon didn't like me. He wrote me up. He's taking that to the boss now. Oh, I hate Brandon. Oh, right? Oh, my kids are in here. We don't say that. We don't like Brandon, right? Like, like all those things. Like, all of a sudden, the accuser's going, yeah, Brandon never liked you. You remember that first day you came into work and he said that? Oh, man, all of a sudden, he's trying to tear that up. Now in us, we have this fear, this insecurity, because if we don't know what God says about us, now we start to believe those lies, and now we start to live out of fear and insecurity. And we walk in with our spouse and going, look, your spouse, ooh, when you walked in, they didn't even smile. Oh, something's going on there. Right? Like all of a sudden start to accuse. And out of my insecurity, now I start to project different things because of fear, because of worry, because of all of these different things, because I'm listening to what the enemy may be saying, because the enemy wants to divide. He wants to steal. Instead of what the Bible says in Matthew 18, going directly to that person, right, and talking and working that out, now the enemy wants us to go and talk about other people instead of to other people, right? He wants us to go, now I'm at work. Look, you saw Brandon come in. Right, and you get around the wrong people, and they're like, "Yeah, I saw it too. I saw him too. I knew he didn't like you." Right, like all of a sudden you're in the wrong group because now they're feeding in that fire of insecurity and that doubt and all these things. But the Bible teaches us what God says is if we have something against someone, immediately we go to that person and we begin to talk it out. And we talk to each other, not about each other, and we have this, and we don't let fear try to ruin that because what God says it is directing him. Now we can live out of, know what? I know my Father has me. I know my Father has a plan, as we talked about last week. I know my Father has a plan that He's prepared long before me, so I can walk and lead and interact with my coworkers, my spouse, my kids, out of the truth of what God says about me. Now I can go up to Brandon and assume the best. He's probably taking a good note to my boss, right? Like, I'm assuming the best because I know my Father has me, that no matter what happens in that moment, I know my Father has me because He loves me. Not saying that anything bad is ever going to happen, but even in that, He is walking with us because now, no matter what happens to me in this broken world, I know at the end of the day, my Father loves me. And He is always working. He is always going before me. He is carrying me, and I can cling to what God says, not what the accuser says. It is about what God says about me, and I'm going to hold on to, and not only am I going to speak that to myself, I'm going to speak it over my family. I'm going to speak it in my job, because what God says has to come to pass. What God says is true, and I believe that, and now I live my life not from fear and insecurity, but being full of who Jesus is in me, right? Now I live out, I am fully known, I am fully loved, and I don't need to have my validation from all of this, but I get my validation from my Father, and I cling to that. And that's why even community is so important, because we speak what God says, right? We speak what He says into each other. We speak with His direction. We speak His wisdom. And now our relationships get stronger. Our family gets stronger because we're leading out of this truth of what God said, not what the accuser says, not what the broken world says. And then I want to go back to this truth that we have to be crystal clear on what God says. And I think in 2021, as a Christian, you and I have to be vocal about what God says, because I think we kind of grew up used to being in the Bible Belt. Well, things are a little different now, and things aren't assumed as much now as maybe they were 10 years ago. And so now you and I can go, well, I know this may be one thing. I know this may be what the world is saying, but this is what God says, out of love, out of hope, out of truth. This is the way I'm walking in this, and I'm resting in that fact of what God says about us. And so as we walk in this, what I want us to do, I'm going to get ready to close. We're going to sing this last song together. And so I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this question. What do I need to do to position myself to hear the voice of God? What do I need to position myself to receive? I love this promise that we read in Matthew. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest." But I love that invitation. Come to me. We always have this invitation of God's will. Come to me. Let me speak into your life. Let me speak into you. And we have this amazing gift from God that every single day you and I can open this thing up. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all God's word is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we open up. These are God's words. This is God's letter to us. We open it up. We can cling to it. We can memorize it. This becomes a part of our life of going, this is what God says, and this is what I'm holding on to. And being a part of community and maybe even turning on some worship music and listening to worship music, right? And because we can be listening to all kinds of different things and music, and I'm not against any other kind of music but worship, but every once in a while we need to pull that worship music on and we need to sing out, God, I am available today. God, you are my anchor. It is you that is great in my life. God, you love me. You are walking with me. And I would encourage you, maybe you're driving into work, you may look crazy, but that's okay. Making those declarations. God, I am your son. I am your daughter. I know you love me. I know you are pleased with me, not because of me, because of Jesus. God, and I love you because of that. And I'm going to rest in that fact today. I'm going to live out of that truth today. I'm going into work today full, God, and use my cup if it's overflows, God. guide and direct me in my life. And maybe we can even ask that question, God. God, what do I need to hear from you? God, I need to hear your voice. We can cry out to God and say, God, I need you to speak over this situation in my life. I need you to speak into my life. But you and I have to be crystal clear about what God says, about who we are. This is who I am in Christ, because the accuser, he is very real. He is moving. He is working in this world, in this broken society that we live in. But yet you and I have an advocate. We have one that goes before us. And what God says is that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And that is who walks with me. And last week, we celebrated the resurrection. And the scripture tells us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us as believers. And that same power, sometimes we think about that, about praying miracles over people. But what you and I can rest in is that that same power has that truth to overpower the lies in our life. It can overpower what other voices can say, but yet we know what God says. And so as we pray today, that was my encouragement, is maybe how can I position myself to open up God's word or hear some worship or set myself so I can hear the voice of God? Who am I keeping close to me, right? Who am I allowing to speak into my life to help guide and direct me as I hear God's word? So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for speaking into our life, God. Thank you for saving us, changing us, God. And I pray that you would remind us every day, real faith for everyday life, God. That we cling to what you say about us, God. That our worth and the love that you have for us is not based on what we do, but based off of who we're connected to. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you that we are no longer under your judgment yet, but now pursuing righteousness, pursuing holiness. God, thank you for working in our lives. I pray that you continue to guide us. Fill us up, God. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.